Tuesday within the octave of Easter, we're well into Easter now, we go again and again to the tomb, this time specifically with Mary Magdalene. But you have probably noticed, I'm sure you've noticed by now, that in many ways, this week is just like last week. It's just as hot. Situations of life are pretty much the same. And if we didn't get the message, the government made it clearer. Because last week was an ECQ, and at the end of Holy Week, the government extended the ECQ to include the Easter octave as well. So the same. On an external level, of course. But even on a personal level, you have probably noticed that you can do some of the things that you gave up during Lent. I don't know what you gave up. Maybe you gave up coffee or something, or going shopping or whatever, using Facebook. And now you can do those things, except you can't go to your favorite coffee shop because we're under quarantine, can't go to the mall. Maybe you can go to Facebook if you want to. But even if you could do all the things that you gave up, does that make you happy? It's an interesting thing. How we long to have certain comforts or be able to have certain freedoms. And when we have them for a moment, we're so happy. But then, after a while, it's not that satisfying. Apply this to the lockdown. Right now, yeah, we're suffering from the lockdown. Oh, we'll be so happy when this is over. But then, we won't be that happy. Because being locked down or being free in that external way is not what makes us happy or unhappy. That's why I'm pointing out, as I have pointed out before, that on a certain level, nothing has changed. But on the level of faith, everything has changed. Or we shouldn't be celebrating Easter at all. If everything has not changed, well, then what good is the liturgical life? On Easter morning, I went out for a walk, early, maybe 6:15, 6:30. Sun was up already. Easter morning, a beautiful time to rejoice and sing hallelujah. So as I was walking, I passed people in the street, and most people are out sweeping or washing the car or watering the plants or whatever, the usual household chores. So I said to one man, "Happy Easter." And he looked at me, and he, instead of saying "Happy Easter," he said, "Happy Easter." And that's exactly how we reacted. "Happy Easter." As if to say, what's the big happiness about it? But remember, that was Sunday morning. We had just received Saturday night the news about the extension of the quarantine. So maybe he was reacting, saying, what difference does it make? we're still in the same tomb that we were in yesterday. I don't know why he reacted like that, but it came back to my mind, reflecting on what has not changed and what has changed, or what is eternally new now. All this is by way of introduction to a little bit of pondering the experience of Mary Magdalene. Today's gospel is quite a profound one, and it focuses on Mary's personal experience at the tomb on Easter morning. One of the striking things about the octave is that we do reflect on people's personal experiences, and they're all a little bit different. Maybe a lot of people don't recognize Jesus right away. That's a common element, but everyone has a different experience. We're all different, and our relationship with the Lord is unique. So whether yesterday we reflected on the guards, what was their experience of being paid to tell a lie and then living like that? Now, what was the experience of the women who were running to tell the apostles? What was the experience of the two men going to Emmaus? What was the experience of those gathered in the upper room? What's the experience of Mary Magdalene? Let's look at Mary. Now, we remember she's the most important of the early witnesses. She's the apostle to the apostles. And this gospel is what establishes it. She has the experience, the first, to meet the risen Lord. According to the Bible. Now, according to the tradition here in the Philippines, the first is Mary, the mother, Jesus' mother. Because it's unthinkable that anybody would come back from the dead and not greet his mother first. Who would, on a human level, you can understand that you don't come home and not greet your mother when you arrive. And you don't leave without saying goodbye to your mother. You don't go ascend to heaven without saying goodbye to your mother. So there is a human basis for that tradition. It's just not in the scriptures. Okay, but in the scriptures, it's Mary Magdalene. And she's at the tomb. Now, this is her second time to the tomb. Remember, the first time she went, she saw that it was empty, and she ran to tell the apostles. Then she came back, and the apostles came, and they came running. They saw the tomb was empty, and they left. But she stayed, and that's where this gospel picks up. She's at the tomb, weeping, sees two angels. She sees Jesus. She doesn't recognize him. Her whole focus is on finding the body. That's what she expects. That's what she's longing for. That's what is filling her heart. I want to find the body. She wasn't thinking that he was risen. Didn't even recognize him. When Jesus says her name, Mary, she realizes, whoops. Here he is, and he's not a dead body. Here he is. And she holds him. This is the part I'd like to reflect on, based on what I was saying about what has changed and what has not changed. Jesus says something very surprising, or at least it should be surprising to us. He says, stop holding on to me. That's not what we would expect him to say. Stop holding on to me. This is the same one who said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will refresh you. Come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' whole public ministry was drawing people to himself. He was lifted up to draw all people to himself. And here's someone who discovers him alive and falls at his feet and probably grasps his legs. And he says, don't hold on to me. What's going on here? Now remember, this is not just a newspaper account. This is also an instruction on the stages of the spiritual life. Stop holding on to me is not simply an instruction about her behavior. It's a teaching about her relationship with him, which has to rise to another level. She might have been thinking that everything was the same. He's back. Now we can get on with life the way it was before. Happy Easter. maybe that's where the mentality was limited. She was thinking he was dead, now he's alive. And that's what Jesus says, don't hold on to that. Don't hold on to that limited experience of me, that this worldly experience of me, or your personal expectation of what I am going to be like for you. Don't hold on to that. Not that it's going to stop him, but it's going to stop her from experiencing the fullness of the risen life, the gift that he came to give. Stop holding on to me. Then listen to the instruction. Not only what she should not do, but what she should do. First of all, I have not yet ascended to the Father. Meaning, there is another level that you have not yet welcomed. The higher one, the ascended one. The one that unites you with the Father. And then he says, go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So I'm not going away to my God, to my Father. I am raising you up with me to your Father, to your God. It's not what you think. So stop holding on to me in the sense of stop holding on to that limited idea. Now, this is the message to us. Is everything the same? Yeah, everything is the same. If you want to hold on to things of this world, still worried about the pandemic, you still can't go to the mall, you still can't go to the coffee shop or whatever. Well, if you're holding on to that, well, then you're missing the whole point of Easter. And it seems God is giving us this experience again. This is the second year in a row. So that we will learn what it is that we are really longing for and what it is that is really being given to us. Easter does not mean the resolution of all earthly problems. Certainly doesn't. I mean, this is 2,000 years and the world is still full of disarray. But that does not mean that Easter means nothing. It means that what we're looking at, or where we expect God to work, is too low. We're holding on to something that has already risen. So aim higher, aim higher. This is actually an echo of what we heard on Easter itself. I'll go back to that passage. The reading from Colossians 3 is this Easter Mass during the day. If you were raised with Christ, it says raised, you could even say ascended, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now that's where we find Christ, where he is, not where we want him to be, but where he wants to be and where he wants us to be, above. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In some ways, this is what Jesus is saying to Mary Magdalene. It's not just I who have died and risen. You've died. So don't hold on to what you've left behind. Rise up with me to the life in union with the Father, my God and your God. He's telling Mary Magdalene, there are still things you have to leave behind. Did fasting end with Lent? On a certain level, of course. We don't have to fast. In fact, we shouldn't fast this week. Today's a week. This is a week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We should not be fasting this week. But we can never stop giving up what is not for us. And advancing to what is higher. You can never stop that. So in a sense, Jesus is telling Mary Magdalene, fast from what you naturally cling to, because it will only get in the way of your spiritual growth and your relationship with me. So don't cling to that. Don't hold on to that. So you can see we have lots to learn, lots to ponder. And Mary Magdalene is an apostle who instructs us. What does she tell us? I have seen the Lord. That's the first proclamation of the gospel, the risen Lord. I have seen the Lord. So she's telling us what to look for, the risen Lord, not the image or the actions of God that are nature. longs for. We want God to end the pandemic. We want God to satisfy all our desires. That's not what it's all about. It's about union with the Father. My God and your God. My Father, your Father, our Father. Jesus is uniting us with the Father.